We want to look at what the Bible teaches us regarding mothers, which we do almost every Mother's Day. In particular today, we want to look at the top 10 things we owe to mothers. You've probably heard or read the little short humorous and touching story by Irma Bombeck, When God Created Mothers. And I know you've probably heard it before, but it's such a good one. I want to read it again. When the good Lord was creating mothers, he was into his sixth day of overtime when an angel appeared and said, "You're doing a lot of fiddling around on this one." You know, it took him 9 months to make the first mother, you know, so that's a long time. But the Lord said, "Have you read the spec on this order? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic. Have 180 movable parts, all replaceable. Run on black coffee and leftovers. Have a laugh that disappears when she stands up. A kiss that can cure anything from a broken leg to a disappointed love affair. And 6 pairs of hands." The angel shook his head slowly and said, "6 pairs of hands? No way. It's not the hands that are causing me problems," said the Lord. "It's the 3 pairs of eyes that mothers have to have." "That's on the standard model?" asked the angel. "Oh yes, 1 pair that sees through closed doors when she asks, 'What are you kids doing in there?' when she already knows. Another here in the back of her head that sees what she shouldn't, but what she has to. And of course, the ones here in front that can look at a child when he goofs up and say, 'I understand and I love you,' without so much as uttering a word." "Lord," said the angel, touching his sleeve gently, "come to bed. Work on it tomorrow." "I can't," said the Lord. "I'm so close to creating something so close to myself. Already I have one who heals herself when she's sick, can feed a family of 6 on 1 pound of hamburger, and can get a 9-year-old to stand under a shower." The angel circled the model of the mother closely, very slowly. "It's too soft." "Oh, but tough," said the Lord. "You cannot imagine what this mother can endure." "Can it think? Not only think, but reason and compromise?" Finally, the angel bent over and ran his finger across the cheek. "There's a leak. I told you were trying to put too much into this model." "That's not a leak," said the Lord. "That's a tear." "What's it for?" "Oh, it's for joy, sadness, disappointment, pain, loneliness, pride, happiness." "You're a genius," said the angel. The Lord looked at the angel and said, "I didn't put that there." You know, all of us have had a mother. Some of us have lost our mothers and missed them greatly. But all of us had one at one time in our life. We wouldn't be here if we didn't. Despite all of science's effort to create test tube babies, they haven't figured out how to do it without a mother yet. And we should be so grateful to our mothers for allowing us to be here. Especially those of us who are my age and younger, because of the fact that since that time, with the legalization of abortion, it would have been very easy for any of our mothers to say, "I don't want one. I'm going to put an end to this." And so we should be grateful for the fact that our mothers loved us and cared about us enough to bring us into this world. There are many who never get that opportunity. But there are 10 things that we want to look at this morning that we owe to mothers. To some of those young mothers who are struggling with some of those things, we owe some patience. Those of you who have been there know how difficult it can be to deal with a little one when they're upset and they don't know why or what's wrong. I think about just a few days ago when Abby was hurt, and you know, those little children, they don't understand what's happened or what's going on, and we had to sit in the emergency room for over an hour and a half, and she couldn't understand. I'm sure she didn't know why couldn't we just, you know, make the pain go away and make it stop. And mothers are there at times. Alex mentioned this morning that, you know, when you're hurt or when you're sad, you run right past Daddy. You run right past everybody to get to Mama, because Mama can make it feel better. But these 10 things that we owe our mothers. First of all, reverence. Leviticus 19 and verse 3. You shall fear or reverence every man, his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. That's so important that even though God allowed that Sabbath day to pass with the passing of the old law, that reverence, that honor and respect for mothers and fathers, He brought forward into the new law, how important that was. In fact, the second one is honor. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 through 3. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. It was the first commandment God gave that had a promise attached to it. Pretty important that He attached that promise. But then third, in addition to that reverence and that honor, which are so very important, and you notice that God didn't say in those, reverence your mother if she was the best mother in the world, or if she was perfect, or if she never let you down, or if nothing bad ever happened to you as a child. No, He didn't say that. He said you reverence her and you honor her because she's your mother. And we know that some had better mothers than others. But the fact of the matter is, we had a mother who loved us and did the best that she could. Some mothers really struggled. Some, because of some problems in their own lives, weren't able to do all the things that we thought that they should have done for us, I'm sure. But we must honor and respect them. That's not dependent on how good a job they did raising us. We see third, though, that we owe mothers gentleness. Now, we live in a sad society today where people are cruel, mean, sometimes even vicious toward their own parents. Perhaps some of them, it's because of abuse that they may have suffered as a child from those parents, and they're just retaliating in vengeance against them. But the Bible teaches us that we need to show gentleness toward our parents. Exodus 21 and verse 15, under the law of Moses, Moses said, he that smites his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. Wow. Hit your father or your mother and get put to death. There'd be a lot less folks around if we were still under that law, wouldn't there? Maybe that'd be a good... Maybe we get Congress to pass that one. But not only gentleness, also kindness, number 4. Exodus 21 there and down in verse 17, it says, he that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Oh boy. I see a lot of faces who are thinking, I wouldn't be here today if that was the case today. You know, God put those stringent rules and regulations in there because He expected respect and honor to parents. Notice He didn't say if the father or the mother smites the child, that'd be put to death. He said if the child smites the mother or father. He didn't even say if the father or mother curses the child, anything could happen to them. But if the child curses the mother and father. Now we know that that's the law of Moses. But that doesn't change the way God feels about mothers and fathers. He gave them a hard job, and he doesn't expect them to have to take any grief from the children as a result of carrying out that job. But we need to go further than just not being cruel, than just giving honor or lip service to parents. We need to give them companionship. Proverbs 19 and verse 26 says, "He that wasteth his father and chases away his mother is a son that causes shame and brings reproach." How many folks do you know who, when mother or father gets old, they just send them away, out of sight, out of mind? Now, I don't have anything against nursing homes. I think they're a wonderful thing. But how many folks do you know that sent somebody off to a nursing home and just forgot about them? They need that companionship still. Even, I know my grandmother, even though for the last few years of her life, she didn't even know who she was or where she was. But my mother taught me, by her example, by showing me that even under those circumstances, she went diligently and regularly to visit my grandmother. Even though I know, and she knew, that my grandmother didn't know who she was. Didn't know her from the nurses that walked up and down the halls. Now, sometimes people get to the point in their lives where they need a specialized care that can't be provided for at home. We understand that. But we can't just push those people off and chase them away and forget about them. They still need some companionship. And that's the child's responsibility to the parent. The parent was there for the child, raising them all those years, and it's our duty to return that in their old age. But also, not just companionship, but also care. Proverbs 28 and verse 24, "Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer." Companion of the destroyer. Matthew 15 verses 4 through 6, Jesus says, "For God commanded, saying, honor your father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it's a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honors not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus you've made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition." You know, we have a wonderful system in our society with Social Security and Medicare, and it's wonderful that we have those things. But that doesn't alleviate us of our responsibility as children. We still have to be there for our mom and dad. And especially, we see today, those mothers. If we try to put that off on the government and say, it's not my responsibility, government's got to take care of that. Or if we try to put it off on some charity or something of that nature, we have avoided doing what God has commanded. Honor your father and your mother. That involves taking care of them financially when the need arises. Then we see number 7, that we owe our mothers blessings. Proverbs 30 and verse 11 says, "There is a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother." I think we're living in that generation. I think, of course, Solomon was probably referring to the generation he lived in, or not his generation, but perhaps a younger generation. But it's around us today, too. There's a generation. And why? What do these people think is going to happen to them when they get old? Now, we only have two choices. We're either going to grow old or we're going to die young. Most of us aren't going to die young, so most of us are going to grow old. Now, how old we grow is relative. You know, some Some might say, well, if I get to 60, I'll be doing well. And others say, well, you know, the Bible says 70, so 70. And others say, well, you know, by strength, 80. And others say, well, I want to outlive everybody. You know, I'm going to make it to 105 or 110, whatever. But we are growing older. And if we expect, and this is primarily toward those of us who are younger, if we expect when we grow old to be respected and cared for, then we better respect and care for the elderly now. You need to think about that. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. In our society, life has become cheap. And it's become insignificant. And if that trend continues, by the time I'm 65 or 70, they may be putting us to death just to get us out of the way. You say, oh no, that never happened. It's already being suggested in some countries. By medical doctors, no less. Oh, they're, you know, at a certain age, we need to just start, you know, put them to sleep like an old sick dog. We need to watch out. We better honor and respect age. Because we're going to be there one day. And how we treat our elders is how those looking at us, they're going to learn from our example, aren't they? And they're going to treat us the way we treated those who came before us. Another wonderful thing, and Mother's Day is one of those days where we like to do this, is gifts. Oh, we owe mothers so many gifts for all of the things they've done for us. Whether it be the mother of your child, men, you know, oh, you wouldn't have any children if it wasn't for that woman. She did a wonderful thing for you. Well, depending on your children, maybe she turned you a bad turn. I don't know. But that's probably your fault, not hers. We need to honor our mothers with gifts. Now, I've not yet met a mother that didn't like to get a gift. Now, I've met some mothers that it was hard to get a gift for, but I've never met any that didn't like to get one. Well, this goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. Can you believe it? In Genesis chapter 30, in verse number 14, it says, "And Reuben," that was one of Jacob's 12 sons, "Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah." Oh, isn't that nice of him? So the giving of plants is not a new thing either. It's been going on for thousands of years. He found those plants and brought them to his mother. We won't talk about what those plants were used for, but they had special properties. They were a good gift for him to bring home to his mother, and she appreciated them a whole lot. She was able then, and you know, maybe this isn't very nice of her, but she traded his gift away for some other things. Oh well, you know, he was probably, you know, just thankful that she was able to get his gift. But we need to give gifts to our mother as well. We need to give her things that she'll appreciate. I remember, with me, it wasn't so much with my mother, but with my father, I would often give him gifts that were things that I wanted. Because I knew he wasn't interested in them, and when, you know, he'd give them to me and let me have them. I bet, you know, some of you girls may have done that to your mother when you were young, you know. But you outgrow those things. But when you're little, I was watching the Dick Van Dyke Show the other day, and they're having a birthday, and the little boy did just that. He bought his daddy a baseball cap, and it was about 10 sizes too small. So his dad said, "Wow, that's a nice baseball cap." He said, it's maybe a little bit too small for me. He put it on his son's head, and he said, "Well, it fits me, Daddy." And he said, "Yeah, I'll have to let you wear it sometime." And he said, "Thanks, Dad," and took off, you know. And I think he said he spent 98 cents on that cap, too. So it was an important gift for his dad. But we do that sometimes with mothers as well. I know my dad would occasionally buy my mom things like a blender, or maybe some other cooking utensil so she could cook something for him. We're never guilty of that kind of thing, are we, guys? We don't ever do things like that. But mothers deserve gifts, and we need to give them those gifts. And then, of course, mothers deserve obedience. The Bible indicates that children should be obedient to their parents even after they're grown and out of the house. Now, of course, we know there are limits to that. Obviously, if a mother or father tries to get a child to do something, or even an adult to do something that's against God's law, we know we must serve God first and obey God first. But whatever it is in the Lord, we need to obey them. When I go to my mom and dad's house, I still obey them as far as their rules of their house. And I can't imagine the way that some children treat their parents. They come in the house and take over like they own the place. Y'all have never known any that did that, have they? That's not the way we're supposed to do. We honor our father and mother, and we obey them. Proverbs 30 and verse 17, Solomon says that the eye that mocks at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the eagles shall eat it. Now, I don't want my eyes plucked out and have the eagles eat it. But that's what Solomon says is going to happen to the person who disobeys their mother. Now, that doesn't, of course, mean that every individual is going to immediately die and have the eagles come and attack their body or whatever because they've disobeyed. But we need to understand just how important obedience is. Proverbs 6:20 says, "My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not the law of your mother." And also in that law that Moses gave them, one of the things that we read about is a father and mother who have a son who is rebellious and disobedient, and they bring him to the elders of the city and they say, "This is our son. He's a drunk and a glutton and he's disobedient and rebellious." And so then they all stone him with stones. Now, if your child's still young and a drunken and a glutton, there's a real problem there. I think they're talking about somebody who's grown and out of the house but just will not respect the morals and the teachings that their parents tried to instill within them. And they said, "We're going to bring this child out here that's grown." But they're still responsible to the parents. And how Solomon says, what shame is caused when a child becomes disobedient, even a grown child. There's nothing that's more embarrassing than for your child to do something that is just so contrary to what you taught them and raised them to do and to be. It's a horrible feeling. We need to be obedient to our parents and to God as well. And then tenth and finally, probably the one that really encompasses all of these, we need to love our mothers. Jesus loved his mother. He saw to it that she was cared for after his death by John, his disciple. In Proverbs 23, verses 22 through 25, Solomon says, "Hearken unto your father that begat thee, and despise not your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Your father and your mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." You see, that's love, real love, is wanting what's best for those other people. When we're selfish, our parents have a great deal of difficulty having joy and rejoicing over us. But when we can turn around and show them love and show others the love that they showed us, then and only then can they truly be proud of us. If we want to be like God, we're going to have to love. God created mothers with that kind of ability to love. And it's something that sometimes we can't even fathom, the love of a mother toward a child. Sometimes even a child that is deformed, has other difficulties, other problems, that other people consider that child ugly, hideous, frightening, disturbing. But all that mother loves that child. You've heard that saying, that's a face that only a mother could love. Well, there's a reason we say that. Because mothers love. And they can love in a way that sometimes the rest of us can't understand. If you're here this morning, perhaps you haven't treated your mother in the way that you should have. Maybe you haven't given her what was due to her. You need to do that. One more thing that I didn't list because I couldn't find a Bible verse for it. I was looking for one and tried to find one, couldn't find one. But another thing that we do owe to our mothers is memory. For those whose mothers have gone on, we owe them to keep their memory alive. Keep them in remembrance as we go. And I know sometimes you still can hear that voice. You still hear something that just reminds you of something your mother used to say to you or maybe something that she did to you. You still remember those things. And as long as we have that memory gone from our lives. Of course, we must remember God and His law as well. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you need to become one. One of the greatest ways that you can honor your mother is by being obedient to God. And you may say, well, my mother wasn't a Christian. I guarantee you, whether your mother was a Christian or not, now she wants you to be one. She may not, even if she's still alive and she's not a Christian, she may not know she wants you to be one, but she wants you to be one. She would not want for you to be lost. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation for any reason, we ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.